Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Thursday morning at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So just to begin our shiur, today is Yod Aleph Iyar. Yod Aleph Iyar is the yurtzeit of the Rapshitzer Rebbe. He lived from 1760 to 1827. Rav Naftali Tzvi Rapshitz. He was a Hasidic Rebbe, particularly known for his humor, his sense of wit and his humor. The reason it's relevant, and I'm bringing it up, is Chuso Yagen Aleinu, Rav Naftali Tzvi Mirapshitz. So my family, my husband, I think is the seventh or eighth Ben Achor Ben from the Rebbe, which means my boys, I think, are the ninth generation Ben Achor Ben from the Rebbe. What's interesting is his name is Naftali Tzvi Mirapshitz. That's the name of my father-in-law and the name of his brother. There were two boys, and one is Naftali and one is Tzvi. And they are Ben Achor Ben from the Rebbe. He was known for his sense of humor, which I always find extremely interesting because his sense of wit, and it really is a trait that I find has carried down as well. My husband, my son, they have a very good sense of simchas hachayim and a wit and always finding a way to see the positive and the good. There's a story told about the Rapshitzer Rebbe, which I've read in a number of places, that his wife was very pious, but she was also very frugal. And the kugel was always dry. I just told it over at the Shabbos table last week, not even knowing it was his yurtzeit. My father-in-law told us yesterday that the yurtzeit is today, Yod Aleph Iyar. So she was very frugal, and she never put a lot of schmaltz into the kugel. And she kept the schmaltz under lock in the cabinet. So one time when she was davening, she was also very pious. And she was, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky tells us over in a book about Hasidim, and I've read it elsewhere also. And she was very pious. So when she was davening, she was only her and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one time she was davening, and the Rapshitzer Rebbe went to her apron pocket. He took out the key, and he went to the schmaltz cupboard, and he put some extra schmaltz into the kugel. And that week, they sat down at the table, and she says to him, "You see, you always complain the kugel's too dry. It's dripping with schmaltz." So he said to her in Yiddish, I'm not good in Yiddish, but it's deine tfilos und meiner meisim tovin. It's your tfilos and my good deeds. It's a miracle the kugel's dripping with schmaltz. My son, the eldest, when he went to Poland after, I think it was before Pesach Shana Aleph, so he was really the first one in the family to go back to the Kever of the Rapshitzer Rebbe. We have pictures, and he stood by the Kever, and he davened by the Kever of the Rapshitzer Rebbe. So it's my husband's, I guess, great-great-great-great-grandfather's Chusa Yagin Aleinu, and Tehe Zichro Baruch. Okay, so the Zeichonish was Rav Naftali Tzvi May Rapshitz, Chusa Yagin Aleinu, Yurtzai, today Yod Aleph year. He died about 200 years ago, 1827, so almost 200 years ago. So we started with a joke, which is total opposite of the whole rest of the shiur. So it's good we started somewhere light, because the whole rest of the shiur is not light. So there's a handout on the bima. So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Maseches Brachos 54a, Nandalat Aleph, quotes the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kishem Shemavarech Al Hatova. The Mishnah, as quoted by the Gemara there, Maseches Brachos, says that a person must say, "Thank you, Hashem." You must bless God over the bad, just like you bless over the good. So we know if something good happens, it's easy to bless the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if Rachman Litzlan, something painful and difficult happens, it's not so easy to bless the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara, a few dapim later, a few blot later, explains what this means. And the Gemara in Samech, Amud Beis, teaches us. So remember, the Mishnah says, Kishem Shemavarech, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kishem Shemavarech Al Hatova. That's what the Mishnah says. So the kasha is, do you make the same bracha over Tova and Ra? If something good happens, you make a bracha. If something bad happens, you make a bracha. Is it the same bracha over both basura? So the Gemara, blah later, a few blah later, in Bracha Samech Amud Beis says, Al Basuras Tovos Omer, Baruch HaTova Meitiv. If there's good news, so somebody says, blessed is the one who is good and who does good. Al Basuras Ra'os Omer, Baruch Dayin HaEbes. And so you do not make the same bracha. Chazal teach ultimately that in the next world, you make only one bracha. In Olam Haba, the only bracha is Baruch HaTova Hameitiv. But in this world, the Gemara says that it is Al Basuras Tovos Omer HaTova Hameitiv, but Al Basuras Ra'os Omer Baruch Dayin HaEmes. Because Lamaisa, even though from the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything is good in this world, we are not at the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Adam, we are of the vantage point of Basra Vadam. We do not see that everything is good. So even in the next world, though, even though in the next world, the Gemara says, everyone makes Barcha Tova and Meitiv. In this world, the Gemara explains it means, Chayav Adam Vavarech Ala Ra, Baruch Dayana Emes, V'chayev Adam V'varech, Ala Tova, Baruch Tova Mitiv. Rabbi Zev left, so what's the bracha on Besuras? Ra'os, Baruch Dayana Emes. We acknowledge that God is judge. And the true judge, I mean, also we see din in this world. Dayan ha'emes, we see din. We don't see always midas harachamim. Sometimes we're blessed to see midas harachamim, and sometimes we are, I don't want to say blessed, and sometimes we see midas hadin. It's hard for me, a basar v'adam, to say we're blessed to see the din. And I heard Rabbi Zev Lev point out something interesting, fascinating. We make the bracha on Ra Baruch Dayan ha'emes. So what is the Shem Hashem that represents midas harachamim? Rashi, Tabereshus Perak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph already talks about, okay, right in the beginning of Bereshus. So Rashi tells you, the name Elohim represents Din, and the name, the Yud, the Hey, then the Vav, the Hey, which I'm not going to say, the Shem HaMeforash, the Makal is in this week's Parsha, by the way, represents Rachamim, okay? Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey, is Shem HaRachamim, and Elohim represents Din. Rabbi Zev Lev pointed out something incredible. I only told this over in one shiur before ever. Sometimes his thoughts I reteach, but I just found this so profound. I was so struck by this. How do we pronounce Yud Ben Hey Ben Vav Ben Hey? Baruch Atah. Think of when I'm not going to say it. Okay, we don't say Hashem. We say Baruch Atah Ado, and then Nai. Well, look at that. You take the Shem of Rachamim and you pronounce it. Aleph, then Dalet, then Nun, then Yud. What's the middle two letters of that word?
Din.
The Shem HaRachamim in this world is pronounced Aleph, then Don, then Yud. Hashem is Achad. We only see Din, and perhaps you could say the Yud is perhaps, I don't know, the Aseres HaDibros, the foundations of Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh, Hashem Achad. That's the foundation of our belief. And then on the other side, we have the Aseres HaDibros. We're coming up to Shavuos, which is the foundation of Matan Torah. Rav Saadia Gaon teaches, Rashi quotes in Bereishis and Shmos Chav Dalet, that all the mitzvos are derived from the Aseres HaDibros. And in the middle of Hashem is Achad and the Aseres HaDibros, you have Din. So it's quite startling to consider and very profound to consider that even though in the next world, the Gemara says, well, I'll say Baruch HaTova Meitiv. And even though Yud Ben Hey Ben Vav Ben Hey represents Midas HaRachamim, the reality is that we don't see it in this world. And therefore, we pronounce that shame based on Midas HaDin, because that is what we see so much of. The first source on your handout is a pasuk from Megillas Eicha. So the pasuk in Eicha says, Parak Aleph Pasuk Beis. Okay, so Parak Aleph Pasuk Aleph is Eicha Yashva Badad. They're on the bima. Eicha Yashva Badad Ha'ir Rabasiya. Oh, it's not in your handout. Ha'isal Ka'aman. Eicha Yashva Badad Ha'ir Rabasiya. Ha'isal Ka'amana. Sarasi Bagayim. Sarasi Bamedinos. Ha'isal Amas. And then Parak Beis. Pasuk Beis. Bachosiv Kebalayla. She cries, she weeps bitterly at night, Yerushalayim. V'dim asa alecha. Oh, I want a screen share. 1 second. For the people at home, I have the handout prepared for you. 1 second. Sorry. Okay. Could someone tell me who I could see, even though I can't see most people? Yes, thank you. Okay. So the pasuk says, Bachosiv kebalayla. She cries, she weeps bitterly at night. V'dim asa alecha. Her tear is upon her cheek. Eina menachem, mikol ohaveha, there is no one to comfort her from all of her lovers. Kol re'eha bagtuba, all of her friends committed treason and trespass. They became her traitors. Hayula la'ayvim, the people that Yerushalayim thought were her friends, her allies, her, peace partners. They became her enemies. And the Medrash says, why is there a double lashon of Bacho Sivke? She's crying. Just tell me she's crying. Bacho Tivke. So the Medrash says, Medrash Eicha Rabba. You can see it on the screen and on your handout. Parasha Aleph Simon Chof Gimel. Al Yehuda v'al Yerushalayim. One crying is for the Churban of Yehuda and the loss of Yehuda, and the others for Tzion and Yerushalayim. Davar Achar. Bacho al Galus Aser Shashvatim. Tivka al Galus Sheva Yehuda. And another thing, she weeps bitterly for the lost 10 tribes, and then she's going to weep bitterly for the Gaulish of Malchus Yehuda, and the Beis HaMikdash was in Sheva Binyamin. Davar, achar, bacho, umevaka, acherim ima. Another thing, when she weeps, the pain is so profound that others, she causes others to weep along with her. Bacho, umevaka, kodesh baruch hu ima. Yerushalayim cries, Zion cries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries with her. Bachol mevaka malachei hasharis ima. She cries over her pain, and the heavenly convocation, the angels above, they cry along with her for her pain. Bachol mevaka shemayim va'aretz ima. The pain is so great of the churban and the galus and the killing and the sorrow and the suffering that she cries, and the heavens and the earth cry along with her. Bachol mevaka harim. The whole of nature is crying with Yehuda and Yerushalayim, with Tzion and Yerushalayim. The mountains and the valleys cry along with her. Bachol mevaka shivim umos ima. She cries and the 70 nations cry along with her. I was a little perplexed by that because it doesn't look like the 70 nations give two hoots about our pain or our crying. But the Eretz Kor Medrash Rabbah explained, I put it on your footnote. When there's a footnote, you should look at them. If I give them to you, they're relevant. From which all of humanity is descended. So the whole world, in a sense, is suffering because all of humanity comes from these 70 nations. Bachol, bachol, umevaka, knesas, Yisrael, ima. She cries, and Knesset Yisrael, Tzion and Yerushalayim cries, and Knesset Yisrael cries along with her. Be'er Sheva, March 22nd, 2022. Menachem Yechezkel, 67, Laura Yitzchak, 43, a mother of three, Rabbi Moshe Kravitsky, 48, Chabad rabbi, father of four, director of the local soup kitchen for the poor and the elderly, and Doris Yabas, 49, also a mother of three, were killed in a ramming and stabbing attack in the southern city. Yitzchak's husband, Tal, Laura Yitzchak, 43, her husband Tal described to Channel 13 the moments he was told that his wife was injured in the attack. I got a phone call from a friend, and he told me, Tal, they stabbed Laura. I told him, it can't be. He said, Tal, I'm not joking. Get over here now. Tal described her as a loving and caring mother and person. They were always at each other's side. Everything, he said, was done with laughter and happiness. She was 43 and a mother of three. She was the pillar of our home, he said. The hardest part was telling the girls. They are broken. Yabas's husband, Doris Yabas, her husband Yossi, also described the first moments after the attack. I got a phone call from my son. He said, Abba, they're stabbing mom. Ima, I didn't understand what was happening. I ran as fast as I could to my car. Yossi, who a month and a half earlier lost his mother, said the family of five was planning to go soon on vacation. I still haven't recovered from the loss of my mother. We all wanted to go away to be together, to gather our strength. But Doris left on her own, and she left us alone here, he said. The Pasuk tells us in this week's Parsha, I was very distressed after the end of Yom HaTzmaut in Eretz Yisrael, shocked and distressed, pained and saddened, Bachol Tivke Balayla. She cries and others cry along with her. And then I realized that this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor, has the mitzvah of Misa to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. And that is the point of departure, to quote Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, for this shir, along with the ongoing, Rachmana Litzlan, current situation in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk tells us in Vayikra, it's the next source on your handout, it is in Parshas Emor, it's a long Parsha, Perach of Aleph, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, and Chav David. It's a long Parsha. Prose to Achimos Kedoshim. Kedoshim was very short. So there's many, many topics in this week's parasha. But this, of course, stands out given the spring that we have had, Rachmana Litzlan, in Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk says, "V'lo sichalalu Hashem kachi, you shall not profane my holy name. V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, mikadishchem, who sanctifies you." And Rashi says, it's the second source on your hand, or the pasuk with Rashi, V'lo sichalalu, you shall not profane, la'avor al dvarai, 1 second, where am I up to? Yeah, la'avor al dvarai mezidin, you shall not, how do you make a chilul Hashem? By b'mezid, violating the mitzvah. So you know you're not, you know you have to keep Shabbos. B'mezid, you go into Far Hesia and you make a bonfire in the middle of the shulon while everybody's davening. B'mezid, you la'avor al dvara. You do averos, you go against my word, and this is achil Hashem. Mish mashenemar velo secharlu ma'atam ulomer v'nikdashti. Why does it say velo secharlu? You shall not profane, and then v'nikdashti, you shall sanctify. One is a lo tase, and one is an ase, but it's really two sides of the same coin. So why do you need to tell me both? And Rashi says, v'nikdashti misar atzmecha v'kadeshmi. This means a Jew must be ready to be moser nefesh, misar atzmecha, to give himself up, to sanctify the divine name. So there's different degrees of mesiras nefesh. Sometimes mesiras nefesh is everybody's involved in the bonfire, and they say, come, throw in a stick, and you say, I'm not going to do it. And that could be tremendous mesiras nefesh for you on your level. Maybe you're a chozer b'teshuvah, and it's only 1 year since you stopped making bonfires every single Shabbos l'hachris, and now your friends are doing it, and it's hard for you. It could be a big mesiras nefesh for you. There's different degrees of to be moser nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The highest degree of mesiras nefesh is for a Jew to give up his life, because he is a Jew, and it's a Shas Hashmad, and B'chol Dar V'Dar Amdi Malenu L'Chaloseinu. So Rashi says, Mesar Atzmecha V'Kadeshmi Yachal B'Yachid. You might think I'm using art school to help me here, because this is also very halachic, and I am not discussing at all the halachos of Misa Al Kiddush Hashem today at all. Rabbi Akiva waited to be tested. I don't know what to say, but if Chalila, a person's ever in such a situation, so if you have the time, you consult with a competent Rav. If not, you should have the machshava that you are a Jew and you are following, unfortunately, I don't know how to say. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, b'chol nafshecha. We're going to get to that at the end. Yachal b'yachid, you might think on the basis of the verse, there's an obligation to submit to death rather than violate the command of a Torah in the presence of a single individual. Yachal b'yachid. So if you're in the presence of a single individual only, does this mean you have to submit to death rather than violate the command of Torah in the presence of one person? Tamal lobar b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Meaning, it's in public. So when it's a public situation, b'soch b'nei Yisrael, there are many people watching. So in that case, a person is chayev to give up his life. U'kishahu moser atzmo, yimsor atzmo amenas lamus. Shakala moser atzmo amenas anes, ein osin lo nes. So when a person gives up his life to be moser al kiddush Hashem, he doesn't give up his life. It's a condition that I'm going to be moser nefesh for you, so you're going to save me. We'll make a deal. I'll jump into the fire, but I know you're going to take me out. When a person goes to be moser nefesh al kiddush Hashem, so he does it with the intention that he knows he's giving up his life. If he goes in on the intention that he is going to be saved, so anes is not done. Now Rashi does not quote this, but it reminds me very, very much of earlier comments in Rashi to Perikit Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches in Bereishis. Right at the end of Parshas Noach, Rashi tells us about Avram and Ur Kastim. Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. Avram was Moser Nefesh, Amanas Lamus. So what happened? Amanas Lamus, he came out. So what does his brother do, Haran? What does he do? He says, wait a minute, look at this, Gevaldik. I'm going to go in also. He says, he makes a condition. If Avram comes out victorious, I'm with him. If Nimrod comes out victorious, I'm with him. He saw that Avram came out, so he said, sure, I could also be a hero. I'm going to go in and I'll also come out. So what happened to him? Vayamas Haran, al Pnei Terach Aviv. Haran died and he was not saved. So Rashi doesn't quote it here, but that's a good example, a relevant and a appropriate example of what we're speaking about here. When a person is moser nefesh, it's not al menach that anes will be done. It's the maisa. I'm a Jew, and this is what it means. This is the Jewish destiny. And then Rashi gives the example of Hanani, Mishal, and Azariah. Shalom masru atzman al menach leis. They did not give themselves up on the condition of a miracle. Like the pasuk says, if he will not save us, let it be known that he is the king. Matzu v'lo matzu. Whether he saves us or not, yidei lehev. Let it be known to you that you are the king. So we have a mitzvah in the Torah. It's in Parshas Emor D'Oraisa. Again, halachic ramifications I am not discussing today. And I don't know if I should say we should be in that position, or chalila, we should never be in that position. Because it is a mitzvah from the Torah, I can say that Michal Tzak Rabbi Kiva wonders and waits for the day when she will be able to fulfill this mitzvah. But Lamaisa, it is one of the 613. I'm quoting now from Miriam Peretz. By now, I assume you all know Miriam Peretz. Miriam Peretz lost her son. I think we spoke about her last week. I don't remember exactly. Yamazi Koran Shir. Yeah, we did. We ended with her lighting the torch. Yamatzmut Shir. So Miriam Peretz lost her two sons, two of her sons, Uriel in the north in battle with Hezbollah, 1998, and then her son Eli Raz in the south battle with Hamas in 2010. And we said that to be Moser Nefesh, Ribbono Shel Olam, isn't always to death, even though that's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh, but oftentimes in life, the way we live, not to make a Chilul Hashem and to make a Kiddush Hashem, sometimes to hold ourselves back from doing something we want to do and we don't do, sometimes from making ourselves do something we don't want to do but we should do, all these are aspects and degrees of being Moser Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Miriam Peretz says, every single day, the neighborhood post box and my email account are filled with letters from readers. They recount that my book and my story have strengthened them and filled them with inspiration and with faith. At first, I was surprised. Why my story? After all, there are people out there, says Miriam, with much more powerful stories than mine. Eventually, I realized a person walks around with his life story percolating in his head. For years on end, he searches for a listening ear that will permit him to open up and share. Unintentionally, I became an address for those who found it difficult to express their feelings to others. You speak as if from with our own hearts, Miriam, they wrote to me. We too are coping with anger and pain. When we see you continuing with your life, it gives us strength. It proves that out of great tragedy, we can go on. We can even smile. Miriam says, I did not choose this reality. It was forced on me. But I admit that there is something to the wide, warm embrace of the public. I didn't ask for this embrace, but I let it in. I allow it to come close and penetrate my soul. The person standing before me wants to bend my ear with the story of his life. And they tell me, you're an inspiration. You are a hero. I pinch myself. I look at myself. Look at me. A hero? I'm flesh and blood, just like everyone else. In my eyes, I am no hero at all. But if a hero is someone who chooses life, then yes, I have chosen. If a hero is someone who continues to love the land of Israel and the Jewish people, then yes, I love them. If a hero is someone who wants to give and do good, then yes, I am a hero. This double death has strengthened me. My two graves on Har Herzl have taught me to pursue values of giving and loving kindness. Love for the land of Israel, love for Torah. They have made me more sensitive to every individual. Sometimes I place my hand on my heart and I wonder how this organ continues to function. Every knock on the door shrinks my heart. Every death note shattered me to smithereens. But in the 5 years, it's more now, it's 12. In the 5 years since Eli Raz was killed, my heart has grown larger and wider. I shouldn't have kept on living. From my point of view, it's a miracle I am still here. It's divine providence that should not be taken for granted. Every day I thank God in heaven for continuing to believe in me, for continuing to bless me with life. That was March 22nd, 2022. Chadera, March 27th, 2022. Police identify the two people killed in the Hadera terror attack as Border Police officers Yazan Falah and Shirel Abu Karat, both 19 years old. The two officers died in battle this evening with armed terrorists, the Border Police said in a statement, adding that three others were injured. Yazan Falah, a resident of the Druze village of Kisra Sumay in the Galilee, joined the Border Police a year ago. He is survived by his parents, a brother, and a sister. Abu Karat, Shirel Abu Karat, a resident of Netanya. I read previously at the time of the attack that her family made Aliyah from France in 2005 for a better life and a life in Israel. She joined the force 6 months ago. She was 19. She is survived by her parents and a brother. The soldiers fought with bravery. We share the sorrow and hug the families of the heroes, Yazan and Shirel, who defended the citizens with their bodies and saved many lives. They were highly motivated young fighters who gave up their lives for the security of the people of Israel. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Samech Aleph Beis, which is the next source on your handout. Could you see my screen? Yeah, thank you. Okay. That's the next source on your handout towards the middle of page 1. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Samech Alech Beis, Tani Rabbanan, Pam Achas Gazra, Malchus Harasha Shalo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. So the wicked Roman Empire made a decree that the Bnei Yisrael cannot learn Torah. We live in a time when we have so much Torah, we can't fathom this. I cannot fathom this. I spend my days, my evenings, my weekends studying, preparing, and teaching Torah. And it wasn't only 2,000 years ago. In communist Russia, which wasn't so long ago, they also were not allowed to learn Torah. Tani Rabbanan, Pam Achas Gazra Machus HaRasha HaRasha'a Ashalo Yasku Yisrael B'Tor. The Romans made a decree that there was no Torah learning. Ba Papus Ben Yehuda, Kumatzo the Rabbi Akiva. So it's a sphere. So Omer in last week's parsha, as the great Rabbi Akiva tells us, V'hafta L'recha Kamocha. It's a time when all of his 24,000 Talmidim died, Mipesach V'ad Atzaras, as per the Gemara in Yosavamos. Ba Papus Ben Yehuda, Umatzo the Rabbi Akiva, Shayamakil Kilis Barabim. So Rabbi Akiva had a shear. A public shiur, there were people in the room, there were people on Zoom, and he's teaching Torah. He's gathering people in public, and he's teaching Torah. But Oseik B'Torah, what's going on here? Amarlo, so Pappas Ben Yehuda says, Akiva, I ata misyare mipnei machus, aren't you afraid of the ruling power? Aren't you afraid of the wicked kingdom? This is against the law. How could you be doing this? Amarlo, and Rabbi Akiva told him a famous and very beautiful mashal. Emshalacha mashal, I will give you a parable, said Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to answer you. Ask me if I'm afraid of the Roman government. Should I stop teaching Torah? L'maha davar domet. To what could the matter be compared? L'shu'al, I love this parable. L'shu'al shahayim aleich al gav hanar. There's a fox. When we were in Kibbutz Lavi one night, we were sitting outside very late, talking to Israeli family, very, very close family friends who were also there. And we saw, I don't know if it was a jackal or a fox. It was so cool. Just up the lawn, just very close to us, up the lawn. L'maha davar dome l'shu'al shahayim aleich al gav hanar. There's a fox, and he's walking by the side of the river. V'ra'a dogim shahayim miskabtsi mimakom l'makom. And he sees fish, and they are jumping from place to place. Amar lahem mipnei ma'atem barchim. So the fox says to the fish, you know, why are you jumping all over the place? Amru lahem mipnei rishasos shemivin aleinu b'nei adam. Oh, the fishermen have nets, and they want to catch us. Amar lahem mitzoncha shetalu la yabasha v'nador ani v'atem. So the fox said, I have a great idea. Come on to the riverbank and we'll be neighbors. We'll be tenants. We'll take out a sublet together and we'll pay rent together. We'll be great friends. Kashim shadaru avosayim avoseichem. My forefathers lived with your forefathers. You'll live with us. The fish said, are you the one that they say is the smartest of all the animals? Pikech is someone whose eyes are open. Baruch pokech ivrim, batipakach ne'inim shneihem. It's when you realize something. Are you the one who is so wise? Lo pikech ata ala tipesh ata. Come on, my favorite lines. You're not smart, you're an idiot. Uma b'makom chiyuseinu anu misyarin. If we're in the water, which is the place where we have life, We are afraid of death. B'makom misaseinu, in the place of our death, meaning if we come out of the water, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so we're afraid. This is the mashal that Rabbi Akiva gave to Papa. Papa says, what are you teaching? Are you crazy? He says, what do you mean? If I don't teach, I'm going to be like a fish out of water. Then I'm for sure going to die. Af anachnu. Achshav shanu yoshim v'oskim b'Torah. Also us, now we are sitting and we are learning Torah. Shekasu b'kihu chayecha v'aruch yamecha. You have the full pasuk on your hand, on your footnote, bottom of page one, footnote. La'havas Hashem elokecha l'shmo b'kol davka b'kihu chayecha v'aruch yamecha l'shevas al ha'adama shenishba Hashem l'avosecha. So Rabbi Akiva says, the pasuk says, it is the life and the length of your days. If I come out of the water, if we go do bito Torah, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so we will for sure die. Here, a chance. If I'm in the water, the fish might be caught by the net, they might not be caught by the net. If I'm teaching Torah in public, so the Romans might find me, they might.
not find me. But if I come out of the water, the fish is for sure going to die. If I stop teaching Torah, which it says, Ki hu chayecha va'orecha mecha va'higisa bo yaman v'layla. So what's going to happen to me? I'm for sure going to die. So a famous explanation of the Gemara that my son told over many years ago is that when a fish comes out of water, he looks like he's very much alive because he's flopping all over the place. So he looks like, you know, he's having the time of his life and he's going to bars and he's going to parties and he's exercising, he's more alive than you ever saw. But the reality is that once he cuts himself off from the source, he's not alive at all. He's in the throes of death. So to a Jew, it might look like when he cuts himself off from a life of Torah, he's having the time of his life. He's doing all these forbidden things that the Torah doesn't let. He could eat in any restaurant he wants. He could eat wherever he wants. He could drink whatever wine. He doesn't have to pay the inflated prices for eggs and kosher meat and kosher chicken. He could buy in Costco and it's so much cheaper. It looks like he's having the time of his life. But the truth is, just like the fish who's in the throes of death, even though he looks like he is alive, so to the Jew who does not have Torah, he too is Rachmana Litzlan in the throes of spiritual death. And of course, if you throw the fish back in water before its mom is dead, what will happen? He'll come back to life. My daughter, many years ago, I mean, when we still lived in Cedarhurst, we had a fish named Swimmer. Yes, that was his name. You know, she got it in Cedarhurst Park at one of those carnivals. I don't know if it was the Kulanu Fair or whatever. That fish lived for 10 or 11 years. It was a goldfish. I'm not lying. And you want to know the craziest thing? When we were leaving Carvel Avenue to move to where we live now on Edward, a few days before we to move, the fish died. So I think we either flushed him or buried him in the backyard. I'm not sure. I wasn't involved. It was my husband's job. It was very traumatic. My daughter was crying. She was younger. It was a fish that was there for a very, very long time. Can I know? What's the point? Before we had a mesh cover over the tank, one time she came up to a room, and there's the fish, I'm not joking, on the floor of her bedroom, flopping all over the place. So she's not queasy, so she picks it up and she threw it back into the water. So right away, he went back to life. So if a Jew cuts himself off from Torah, it doesn't mean you give up on him. It means you got to get him somehow back into the water. Okay, he never goes to Shir. He's not connected to God. He never says a kapitel of Tehillim. He makes time for everything except for Torah. So then you have to figure out how to get him back into the water. Until he's dead, he's not dead. Call his mention near the lake of Charlotte Takane. But we must understand that if we do not, man, now it doesn't apply to the people here, but if we do not make time for Limud Torah, Hayam makil kihilos birabim, he's gathering in public and they're learning Torah. Kihu chayecha va'orach yamecha. How much more so? B'nei Brak, March 29th, 2022. We ran from Be'er Shava, March 22nd, 2022, to Chadera, March 27th, to Rachmana Litzlan, B'nei Brak, March 29th. I'm just giving you a snippet of lives shattered and destroyed. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lam and Zamid Aleph, the Kolamatzil Nefesh Achas B'Yisrael, Ki Ilu Hitzu Olam Malei, B'nei Brak, March 29th, 2022. B'nei Brak resident Yaakov Shalom was driving home and he was stopped by the gunman. His car was stopped by the gunman who opened fire on the vehicle from close range. Yaakov Shalom was the son of Rabbi Meir Shalom, a prominent leader of the Yemenite community who died last year of COVID. His funeral departed from his home at 11 a.m. He was survived by his mother, his wife, and four children. Said his brother-in-law in his hesped, a year and a half ago, we were here to mourn your father, but we did not think we would be back here so fast. Sorry, my page. His respect for his parents was exceptional. When his mother needed something, he would come even in the middle of the night, and he would do so happily. Avishai Yecheskel, I've thought so many times about him. He was the 29-year-old who took his 2-year-old out for a walk, remember? At the time that he was killed, his wife was 8 months pregnant. So by now, she may have, or she is imminently expecting the child. Avishai Yecheskel was 29, his 2-year-old son out for an evening walk try and put him to sleep when he was shot while protecting the boy. He survived by his wife, who is 8 months pregnant, and his 2-year-old child. His funeral was held 9:30 a.m. Wednesday morning. Two foreign workers were also murdered, along with the police officer who arrived at the scene on the motorcycle, 32-year-old Arab Christian Amir Khoury.
He was evacuated to the hospital in critical condition, but died of his wounds shortly after. He is survived by his parents, two sisters, and his fiance. His funeral took place Thursday in the hometown of Nof HaGalil, formerly known as the Upper Nazareth. Rav Soloveitchik says in his Kol Dodi Dofeik, we began by quoting the Mishnah, and then the Gemara explaining the Mishnah, and then Rabbi Zev left. The Mishnah tells you, Kashem Shem Mevarach Al HaTov, Kach Mevarach Al HaRa, and the Gemara clarifies that to mean that Kashem Shem Mevarach Al HaTov, Berakas HaTov Al Meitiv. And Kashem Shem Mevarach Al HaRa, says the Gemara, Baruch Dayan Emes. Now we explain that Rabbi Zev Lev says something very, very powerful. Even though the shame of Rachamim is the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, the Hey, which is Hayahova Vihya, in this world we don't, unfortunately, too often we don't see the Rachamim. And therefore, how do we pronounce Shem HaRachamim? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Ado, and then Noi. Because the essence of this world, the essence of Golos, the essence of Chorban, is Midas Hadin. And in this world, even though the next world says the Gemara, everybody says Birkas HaTov HaMeitiv. In this world, we see the bad. Rabbi Soloveitchik says in a very, 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 very powerful piece that I find particularly very validating. I struggle a lot when people say there's no bad in this world. It's not correct. From the vantage point of God, everything is good. But the Gemara says, Kashem Shem Mevarchem Al HaTov, Kach Mevarchem Al HaRa. It doesn't say Kashem Shem Mevarchem Al HaTov, Kach Mevarchem Al HaTov. It doesn't say that. There's good, there's bad. There's joy, there's pain. Eis Lischok, Ve'eis Livkos. There's different times, the beginning of Kohal's Perikima. There's times to rejoice and there's times to cry. There's times to dance, ace their code. The ace, what's the opposite of a code? I don't remember. I'm not looking up right now. There's times to dance and there's times not to dance. There's times to rejoice and there's times to mourn. There's times to sow, ace this part, the ace the crown. There's times to tear. Rabbi Soloveitchik says in a very important excerpt from his Kol Dodi Dofeik, which was a masterful speech delivered in 1956. 8 years after the establishment of the State of Israel. If you have not learned through it, you really, really should. The Rav says, Judaism, with its realistic approach to man and his place in the world, understood that evil, listen very carefully. Judaism, with its realistic approach to man and his place in the world, understood that evil cannot be blurred or camouflaged. And any attempt to downplay the extent of contradiction and fragmentation to be found in reality. I remember when I was younger, and sometimes still, I need to read the Rav sentence like three times. You know, last week here we spoke about Yom Ha'atzma'ut, but Wednesday night I did once a month I give a Zoom share for Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah, the first Wednesday of every month. So last Wednesday it was Yom HaZikaron. So I gave a Yom HaZikaron share for Boca Raton Zoom, Midrashah, and I started by talking about the Chabot family. Rachel Chabot was baking a cake Thursday night, Erev Shabbat, and the terrorists infiltrated her home, and they shot her, and they killed her and her three of her children, 12, 15, and 8, I think. And I spoke about the survivors. I only saw after that one of the torchlighters this year was Asael Chabot, one of the surviving sons who was injured. Judaism, says the Rav, with the cake batter, I remember what happened, the cake batter was still on the counter. Judaism, with its realistic approach to man and his place in the world, understood evil cannot be blurred and evil cannot be camouflaged. Any attempt to downplay the extent of the contradiction, there's a contradiction in this world, everything that Hashem does is good, but we see so many things that do not appear to be good. Everything Hashem does is from Rachamim, yet we pronounce the shame of Rachamim by saying the shame of Din. Avram was told, go to the land, I will bless you, and then he gets the land, and the Canaanim are in the land, and there's a famine in the land. So is it good for me here? It's not good for me here. I'm going to be blessed here, I'm going to starve here. Any attempt to downplay the extent of the contradiction and fragmentation to be found in reality will neither endow man with tranquility. It will not give you menuchas ha-nefesh to stick your head in the sand and pretend this does not exist.
It will not give you hishtavus ha-nefesh to pretend and ignore that five Jewish men were axed in the brain last Thursday night in a park. Not in Vienna, not in Austria, not in Warsaw, in Eretz Yisrael. It will not endow you with tranquility to pretend it doesn't exist. It will not enable you to grasp the existential mystery if you attempt to camouflage evil. Evil is an undeniable fact. Baruch HaTova Meitiv, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. We don't live in the next world. We're not Malachi Asharis. I often think when I'm davening Shachris in the morning, so in the Birkas of Kriya Shema, what do we say about the angels? Kulam Mishab, Chimufar, what do we say? I need a sitter. Could someone pass me a sitter, please? Could someone please, I'm sorry, pass me a sitter. Everything is clear to them. They understand everything. Meshabchim mifa'arim. One second.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just be a mitzvah. Thank you.
This is what we say about the angels in the Birkas Kriya Shema. They accept the yoke of the kingship of heaven upon them, one from another. They give permission to each other to bless God, to sanctify their creator, their fashion of benachas ruach, besafa verua, ubiniima. They have nachas ruach, contentment of the soul. They have clear speech. They have pleasantness. And therefore, it's so easy for them to say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Malach Chalartz Kevodo. It's so easy for them, Lahakdish Liotram. I'm not trying to be a menuvel, or Chas V'Shem HaKofer, but when I say these words, I think, Hashem, it's not so hard for the Malachim to praise you, Benachas Ruach. It's not so hard for them to Liakdish Liotram, B'Safara Berura. It's not so hard for them to have Ni'ima. They don't see the world from my perspective. Maybe if they saw from my perspective, it wouldn't be so easy for them either. Thank you. There is evil. It's an undeniable fact, says the Rav. There is suffering. There are hellish torments in this world. Go online and look at one picture of one of the families from this past spring over the caver of their family member, and it says more to you than anything that I'm saying in an hour. Go look. Go home, go look, Google Allah terror victims, funeral images, go look at the Almanos and the Yosomim, the young children who have torn Kriya, laying over the caver of their father. Evil, says the Rav, is an undeniable fact. There is evil, there is suffering, there are hellish torments in this world. Whoever wishes to delude himself by diverting his attention from the deep fissure in reality, whoever wishes to delude himself by romanticizing human existence is nothing but a fool and a fantast. You want to delude yourself? You want to say there's no deep fissure in reality? You want to romanticize human existence? You are not N-O-U-G-H-T, but a fool and a fantast. It is impossible to overcome the hideousness of evil through philosophical, speculative thought. How can you understand that they raise their 19 and 20-year-olds to take huge axes and go axe people in the brain? Think of your grandchildren that you know, your children who are 19 and 20. What are you raising them to do? And what are they raising them to do? It is impossible to overcome the hideousness of evil through philosophical, speculative thought. And therefore, Judaism determined that man who is entrapped in the depths of a frozen, fate-laden existence. We are trapped in the depths of a frozen, fate-laden existence. The existence of our fate is lo sichalalu Hashem kadshi v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mikadishchem. K'shem mesor atzmecha lo mesor atzmecha al menas neis ela mesor atzmecha al menas lamus. We seek in vain for a solution to the problem of evil. After Rachmanu Litzlan, every Kaddish, we're shocked. Why am I still shocked? It's 2,000 years of the same thing. Why am I shocked? Why am I still shocked? My grandfather talks about his daughter, Devorah. She was born Pashas Peshach. I've told you about her. My grandfather's Yahrzeit is next week on the 32nd day of Omer. He lost his wife and three daughters, Golda, Leah, and Ita. Why am I still shocked? We seek in vain for a solution to the problem of evil within the framework of speculative thought. We speculate, we think. There are those who, Rahman al-Islam really think there's a solution. If I give them land more and more and more and more, then they'll stop hating us. Good morning, it's not happening. Certainly the testimony of the Torah, says the Rav, that the cosmos is good, is true. The Torah tells you everything is good. The cosmos are good. It's true, says the Rav. The testimony of Torah that the cosmos is very good is true. However, quote, this affirmation, can only be made from the infinite perspective of the Creator. If you're up there with the Malachim, with the Nachas, Berura, Ni'ima, so it's true. It's very easy for the Malachim to praise God. They have clarity. They have Nachas Ruach. They have pleasantness. There's no kashas up there. So sure, they could say quite easily, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Malach, Alarts, Kevodo. The affirmation that everything is good, says the Rav, is only made from the infinite perspective of the Creator. Finite man, that's all of us, with his partial vision, cannot uncover the absolute good in the cosmos. It's a fact. You cannot find absolute good in the cosmos. The contradiction in existence stands out clearly, and it cannot be negated. Evil, which can neither be explained nor comprehended. We can't comprehend it. Every single time, we can't comprehend it. How could it be? Rabbi Moshe Kravitzky was last named the Chabad rabbi. Yeah. Left four children, and he ran the soup kitchen. He took care of the elderly and the poor. What about Shluchei Mitzvah, Einu Nezikin? How could it be? The contradiction in existence stands out clearly and cannot be negated. Evil can neither be explained and it cannot be comprehended, but it exists. Only if man could grasp the world as a whole could he gain a perspective on the essential nature of evil. However, as long as man's apprehension is limited and distorted, your vision is very limited. As long as he perceives isolated fragments of the cosmic drama. All you see are isolated fragments. How long are we here for? 5,782 years, a few years? 80, 90, 100 years out of 5,782? Only as long as he perceives the isolated fragments of the cosmic drama and isolated fragments of the mighty epic of history, he remains unable to penetrate the secret lair, L-A-I-R, of suffering and evil. With your limited vision, as long as the short time period we are here, man is unable to penetrate the secret lair of suffering and evil. But to say it doesn't exist, to not know, to not cry, to not daven, to not read about them, to not be, no, say, ba'alim chavero, do you think that's going to, by romanticizing human existence, you are deluding yourself. It will bring man neither tranquility nor answers for grasping the existential mystery. To what may the matter be compared, says the Rav in his Kodo Dido Fake. To a person gazing at a beautiful rug, R-U-G, a true work of art. An exquisite design has been interwoven into the rug, but he is looking at it from the reverse side. He sees the back of the rug, says the Rav. Can such a viewing from the reverse side, when you see everything backwards, can it give rise to the sublime aesthetic experience? Can you appreciate how great the weaver is? Can you appreciate how wonderful the artist is? Can you appreciate their vision? Alas, we view the world from the reverse side. We are unable to grasp the all-encompassing framework of being. And it is only within that framework that it is possible to discern the divine plan, but we're not in that framework. Only within that framework can we understand the essential nature of divine action. Be'er Shava, Chadera, Bnei Brak. March 29th is Bnei Brak. Tel Aviv, Thursday night, April 7th, 2022. The terrorist opened fire on a crowded Dizengoff Street on a busy Thursday night, killing Tomer Morad and Eitam Magini, both 27, from Kfar Saba, both engaged and both childhood longtime friends. Barak Lufan, 35 years old, father of three, a former Olympian kayaker, was also murdered. The funeral for Magini was held at the cemetery following Morad's service, back-to-back levayos, Tomer Morad first, and then Eitam Magini next. Said Magini's father, Ayal, "We will forever remember you as a friend, a partner, who knew how to connect people in an artistic way. You were like a magician walking amongst us. You knew how to contain and how to respect everyone. You were a great conversationalist," said his father. "You were a friend, an amazing partner. It is so sad you were taken from Ayala, your fiancé. You were taken from all of us at such a young age. I promise everyone will remember what a wonderful person you were. I will love you forever until the day I die." Magini's sister, Noah, said, "My Eita, my big brother, my only brother, I am speechless. I cannot believe it. We will continue to be together forever. You always protected me, and now I will protect Ima, Abba, Saba, Safta." Barak Lufan, 35 and a father of three, was a resident of the central city of Givat Shmuel. He grew up in Kibbutz Genosar in northern Israel. He was a coach on Israel's Paralympic team, and he was the head coach of the Israeli national kayak team. "Our beloved Barak," said the family in a statement, "the grandsons of the founders of Kibbutz Genosar, an exemplary husband and father, an athlete, a member of the Olympic kayaking team, an educator of the future generation, has left us prematurely," said his family. The Gemara tells us, it's not on your handout, as this source was added after the handouts were already made and the shir was written. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Zayin Amud Aleph, Tanya was taught in a Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said, "Pam achas nichnasti the haktir k'tores l'fnai v'lifanim." One time, I went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the inner chambers, to offer k'tores. V'ra'isi akatriel yah Hashem Tzavakos. And I saw there akatriel, ka Hashem Tzavakos. The Art Scroll footnotes quotes the Or Zeruah. This incident occurred when Rabbi Yishmael was offering up the incense on the Yom HaKippur. He was a Kohen Gadol during the time of Bayesheni in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It should be emphasized that even according to the view that he saw the name of God, that Akatriel is the actual name of God, Rabbi Yishmael did not see God. Rabbeinu Hanano states emphatically, Rabbi Yishmael saw nothing with his eyes. He saw an image in his mind eye, something symbolic of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever he saw, Rav Saadia Gaon says he saw a great and glorious light. He saw the first light that was the first light of creation when Hashem created Or. But Lamaisa, he saw some either apparition or image or understanding in a very visceral sense that he is standing right before God. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he has this vision. And he sees Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachal, Shehu Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa. And he sees God, and God is sitting on his exalted, elevated throne of glory. Va'amarli, and God said to me, Yishmael b'ni barcheni, Yishmael, my son, bless me. Amarti, though, I said to him, Yihi ratzo milfanecha, may it be your will before you, sheyich b'shu rachamecha es kascha, your rachamim should conquer your anger, v'yigalu rachamecha al midosecha, your mercy should roll over. It should overcome your stern attributes. V'tit naheg im banecha b'midas harachamim. This is the bracha that the Kohen Gadol gave the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur. God says, bless me. So he says, okay, I'm going to bless you. I bless you that your rachamim should conquer your kaas. I bless you that your midas harachamim should roll over, overtake all your other stern midos. I bless you, v'tit naheg im banecha b'midas harachamim. I bless you, you should behave with your children with the attribute of mercy. V'tikane slahem lifnim mishuras hadim. You want us to judge everyone else if nimi shor sadin? You want me to judge my fellow and give him danas kol adam lekav zchus, last week's parsha? I bless you, God. You should go beyond the letter of the law. V'ni ana li birosho. And upon hearing this blessing, God nodded to me with his head, says Rashi on the Gemara, kimoda bebirchasi va'ona amin. God was moda by my bracha. He admitted, he accepted, he took the bracha, and he said, amen. Now I'm going to say it again without interrupting. Tanya, Amar, and I translated the whole thing already. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Pam achas nichnasti, lahaktir k'toras, lufni v'lifanim, v'ra'isi akatrikel, ka Hashem tzvakos, shehu yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. Va'amar li, Yishmael b'ni barcheni, Amarti lo yehi ratzo mefanecha, sheyich b'shu rachamecha es kaascha, v'yegalu rachamecha al midosecha, v'sisna hegim banecha b'midos harachamim. How many orphans exactly do we need to the Bnei Yishmael? How many almanos, pregnant, couples, Rabbi Eitam, Anama, Hinkin, how many bereaved mothers and fathers? Let us say the Shem Hashem of the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, enough with the Dalet Nun Yud. V'tikanesh lehem lifni mishur sadin. V'ni ana li birosho. Zukt Rashi, kimode bibirchasi, v'ona amin. Last week I also quoted from Out of the Depths, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. Father said goodbye to us and returned to the synagogue, where he remained standing. Oh my gosh! I just looked at the time. Are you? Okay. Okay. Father said goodbye to us and returned to the synagogue, where he remained standing, the Torah scroll in his arms, until the Germans came and drove him out. Head held high, he walked to the train. It took him, along with 28,000 other Jews of Piatrico, to Treblinka. The day Father arrived in Treblinka, a strange event occurred that I, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, consider an act of divine providence. Another train arrived in Treblinka on the very same day. Its cars were packed with Jews of Presov, Slovakia. What's the Hashgacha Pratis in the depths of Gam Kielich Begeitz HaMavesh? 8 years earlier, before Father was the Rav of Piatrika, Father finished his tenure as the rabbi of the town of Presov, Slovakia. And the town of Presov never yet put in another rabbi in Father's place. These two towns reflected two completely different worlds. The Jews of Presov spoke German and Hungarian. Those in Piatrika spoke Yiddish and Polish. They had one thing in common. The last rabbi of Presov was the last rabbi of Piatrika, my father. The Jews of Presov, the Jews of Piatrika, and their chief rabbi all met on the train platform of Treblinka on their way to the gas chambers. Father addressed them by recounting the last speech of Rabbi Akiva, one of the 10 martyrs of Israel. When the Romans raked Rabbi Akiva's flesh with iron combs, his disciples asked him how he could withstand the torture. Rabbi Akiva replied by saying the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one." "All my life," said Rabbi Akiva, "I wondered about the verse in the Shema, 'Love your God with all your soul.' I understood this to mean with all your soul, even if he takes your soul. And I asked myself, when will I have the opportunity to fulfill this command? Now that I have the opportunity, how can I not fulfill?" Rabbi Akiva recited the Shema, prolonging the word one as his soul departed. "Jews," Father shouted, so all present would hear him. "Of the 613 mitzvos, we have one mitzvah left to fulfill." And he quoted our parsha. "V'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael." I will be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. To give up your life for bearing the name of God. This is contained in the name of the people Israel. Yisrael, to give up your life for the name of God, Aleph Lamed. "Come, my brothers, Let us fulfill this commandment in joy. This world is null and void. This world is a boiling rain of hatred and bloodshed. There is one mitzvah left for us to fulfill, to sanctify the name of God. Come, my brothers, let us fulfill it joyfully. I repeat to you the words of Rab Simcha Bunimi Pesischa, for in joy you will go out. The power of joy, with the power of joy, we'll leave behind all our troubles. By the way, it's also this week's parasha. Chav Gemo Mem. With the power of joy, simcha, we leave behind our troubles, our suffering, and the trials of this world. Father raised his voice and began to recite the vidui, the confession, for the sins that we have sinned before you. The crowd repeated it after him. The prayer began in a whisper and ended with the shout, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlach. Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlach Li'olam Va'ad. I never saw Father again after that night at our house in Piatrika. My father accompanies me throughout my life, whatever I do. I study pictures of him that hang in my home, and I think about him often. I miss him at every joyous or sad occasion in my life, at every crossroad I face. According to those who knew him, my father, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau, was a gifted speaker. Before every speech I make, I ask myself how he would have formulated it. I'm just going to finish. Ariel Shamron, Leil Shabbat, April 29, 2002. Vyach Salav Golev, 23-year-old security guard, killed in Friday's terror shooting, entrance 23. At the entrance to the settlement of Ariel, was laid to rest Sunday in his hometown of Beit Shemesh. Hundreds of people attended the ceremony. He is survived by his parents, seven siblings, and his fiancée, Victoria Fliegelman. Beit Shemesh mayor called Golev a hero who defended the Ariel community, and his fiancée like a brick wall. She said the Golev family, who immigrated to Israel from Russia, were the story of Beit Shemesh, the story of Israel, with the story of your lives, you brought together the story of Israel and Aliyah. You are the mosaic of Israel. The pasuk tells us in this week's parasha, "V'lo sechalalu Hashem kadshi, v'nistach v'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mekadishchem." We should be zochet to share b'suros tovos, the yahrzeit of the Rabshitz Rebbe, mamish chusa yagein aleinu. I wish everybody a true Shabbat Shalom, and we will continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.